and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Excuse me. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, Abraham 99, Sarah close to that same age, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which by the seashore innumerable. That's what came from that union. All right. These all died in faith, not having, listen to this, not having received the promise. Now, what is the promises? God's going to enter into a group of people and have a bride. That's the promise. When God, in Genesis 3:15, that's the greatest promise. I'll put enmity. In other words, here they're living in a sinful world. They're living in a post-Eden world where you have to be born of sex, you have to grow up and die. That's just the way it is. And if we don't have any, you know, what other hope do we have? Like Brother George Quinn and I were talking yesterday. He said, you know, you see people, he's talking about being in China and different places, Indonesia. And he said, they just walk like zombies. He said, I had a $100 bill in my pocket. And he said, I was going to give $20 bill. I was going to give a $20 bill to the first person that smiled at me. He said, I still have my $20 bill. Went right through the city of Indonesia. He said, smile at them. Sure, I'd smile. Now, he didn't, you know, go overly, God bless you, or hey, but he'd smile at people. And he said, not one person, even from the kids up, didn't even smile at me one time. Put that $20 bill back in the pocket. So see, they're moving through life with no promise. But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. Now, what were they persuaded of? Abraham saw, excuse me, I've been reading in the book of Isaiah. Now, Isaiah, kind of interesting, Brother George Quinn just come back from Israel with his wife. And they have not the original book of Isaiah, but the old manuscript of Isaiah. They have it on display. Well, Brother Brown said that's the 66 chapters is the 66 books of the Bible. It's a complete commentary of the Bible in the book of Isaiah. And if you'll read the book of Isaiah, it keeps talking about redemption. 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 Israel to be redeemed. Well, yeah, Israel's going to be redeemed, but you got to read yourself in that too. Isaiah, where it says, who has believed thy report, and who's the arm of the Lord? It's talking about Jesus Christ. Yes. All right? Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky, and multitude of sand which by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Now the promise, Genesis 3:15, I'll put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman, and the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent, and in other words, bring this thing all back together again. All right? That's the promise. The promise was, to me, the promise was, is that Adam and Eve were going to repopulate, or populate, not repopulate, populate the world with us. Right. With that Genesis 1:26 man that God said, let us create man in our own image and in our likeness. You've heard me. That's my favorite scripture that I preached on it many, 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 many times. That's what comes to you at your new birth. But what happened with Adam was, Adam had to give all that back because he sinned. And when he sinned, he couldn't produce. There was no clean womb for him to produce God with. And God wasn't wanting to produce him a female womb. Oh, you know, the loins. This is the womb that he wanted to produce. The spoken word is the original seed. Abraham get the thought of Bob Black. The thought went to Eve. Eve conceived. Just like what happened to Mary.
Okay.
No sex.
Okay.
But spoken word. Be it unto me according to thy word, Eve would say. And then here would come Bob. Boy, just so simple. But remember what happened was, Satan knew that too. Satan knew that. So he blocked it. He blocked it. And God had to close the womb back up. The natural womb and the spiritual womb of Eve, closed it back up so she couldn't get revelation anymore. Adam had revelation. I'm just this way. When Adam and Eve got thrown out of the Garden of Eden, Adam did not quit being a son of God.
Right.
Because the Bible said he was the Son of God.
Right.
Now remember, his body started getting older. He lived 900 something years, but his body started getting older. But I'm telling you, he had to be the doctor, the nurse, the herbalist, the physician, the pharmacist. He had to be the keeper of the land. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
There wasn't nobody but Adam and Eve and the two boys. And one of them got killed, Abel. So Adam still was the God of the earth. Sorry, that's just the way I say it. They still had to go to Adam, I believe, to get things natural. And he could tell them what happened in the garden. Because he was the one that did it. And then Adam was the one that, remember, Adam's the one that sold us out, not Eve. Eve didn't sell us out, Adam sold us out. Right? But what happened was Adam sold us out thinking he might could get Eve and bring her back into the garden. But remember, Brother Brown said he tried, he went out to get Eve and said God wouldn't let him back in. Because remember, and you've heard this preached many times before about Adam putting natural seed into Eve to save her. My Lord, that's not even, that's horrible actually. To even think that revelation is a revelation. Adam's seed's what polluted the earth, not made it better. Grief. His natural seed. I'm talking about his natural seed. You say, well, what did he do? Well, this is my thought on the whole thing is, he knew what the beast did to Eve, and he knew he had, Adam being the God of the earth, he had watched the animals. We're never going to get finished with this chapter. The animals, he saw what they produced, what they produced sexually.
Right.
Right?
Right?
And he knew the womb would close up at a certain length of time. Well, he knew if he didn't get to Eve, that the whole race, he had to kill her. He would have to do away with her because she would have seed of the beast and then that womb would be closed and he'd have to kill her.
Right.
But he took her to himself, not to save her. Really, my thoughts on it was to save himself.
Right.
So that was his lineage.
That's right.
That he's trying to save. He's not trying to save that beast lineage. He's trying to save his lineage.
Right.
Being God on the earth, he knew all these things. But he didn't have sex with Eve to save her. Please, good Lord, mercy.
Didn't Brother Randall say he stepped out to save her?
He never said he planted his seed in her.
Well, that's what
he
did.
He did it because not to save her? No. He did not. You can't have a sex act in salvation. Period.
Christ's seed.
That's what killed us all. That's why we're dying. That's why That's why Adam. But to preserve life, to preserve his lineage, he knew he had to do what he did. Not to save her, because remember, he went out and did that, and he didn't get to go back in the garden, because remember, Adam might have been the God of the earth, but he was not the Savior.
Right.
There is one Savior, and that's Jesus Christ, which came without sex, and you and I are going back to being without sex in our new birth. The new birth wipes out, remember Brother Brown said, it zeroes out the sex act that brought you here. Oh, let's go preach that, brother. Anyway, so stop it. Here we go. But true. I mean, listen, I heard some of y'all amen it. So it's wrong. It's just wrong.
Right, right.
It's wrong. It's not even that. To me, that's vulgar.
Yes.
To think that in your mind, that Adam would have to have sex with Eve to save her.
I've always wondered about that.
Well, now you're you're one of the ones that amen it because I heard it.
I do. I saw that.
So anyway. But be careful. You know why? Because some big name preacher preached it.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Some big name noted preacher preaches the same identical thing. And then you know what you do? You don't study it out. You say it just because somebody else said it. That's just like me and Brother George are talking about. You know, we've all of our life in the Baptist church. You know, mama's walking on the streets of gold with Jesus. You go try to tell them people that that's a lie. You best keep your mouth shut or they'll be doing your funeral the next week. You know why? But that's so ingrained in the people. Why? You've heard it over. But it's a lie. It's a lie that Adam had to have sex with Eve to save her. There is no salvation in sex.
Amen.
Sorry. That's what guys all probably want to start with. But Adam couldn't kill Eve because she was literally a part of him.
Right.
Not like me and June. No, they were literally one person.
Right.
And he couldn't. Same way with Christ. If you see how the that Christ, though being our Savior, can come to this earth but never have a sex act. He goes to the womb of your mind to give you the new birth, makes love to your mind, not be dirty, makes love to your mind, and that's what it is, and plants the seed word in your mind. You see why, this is why that many, many preachers, Brother Brown said you'd be careful with money, women, and popularity. We were talking about this the other day. Why? Because you're planting seed. A preacher every Sunday is planting spiritual seed. Well, if you don't have enough spirituality about you and let your flesh take over, it won't take over the Holy Ghost. But that's why you see many preachers commit adultery. Why? Women are attracted to that anointing.
That's right.
That's why you have to be careful. Brother Brown said money, women, popularity. That's the three things everybody wants to be popular.
That's right.
I think that's more than women and popularity.
Yes. Yes. And money is included in all that. But remember, the bride of Jesus Christ, when we were born again, we're being made love to by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But it's not the dirty thing that we all got here. That's why we're dying. So how in the world could Adam do anything to make her raise her up? No, he had to go out with her and he had to start making sacrifices.
Right.
No? Okay. But yeah, so let's don't get caught in that trap because Mama told us.
Our name brand person
told us. That's not true. I keep those quotes I don't have with me where Brother Brown said, Abraham's natural seed is what pollutes the earth. And you remember that. Remember, Eve didn't have a seed. A woman doesn't have a seed.
Right.
You can only repopulate the world with a man's seed.
Right.
And that's what's killing us. So how can that be a salvation issue? No, sorry, people. That's what gets us in trouble. Is, hey, you can't be one word off and take a body change. You cannot be. So everything's got to be righted back to where there can't be a... And you know what? When Brother Dale preached that several years ago about what I'm just saying, somebody had preached that in our church from the same country.
Yeah.
And had to correct him. So you just can't. Sorry. It's just because one big name person went over there 10 or 15 years ago and preached it. And we heard him preach it in Ruth. So just because you're a big name person, that's the money, women, and popularity part. You better go check out what Brother Dale says to you, much less whatever, or me, says to you.
That's why your pastor does not listen to
that's right.
Anybody.
Because you don't want to sway the thought. Through faith also said, let me read this and we'll go. Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Then watch. Now the promise is, now look, the promise wasn't that Adam and Eve was going to have babies sexually. They were going to have babies by the spoken word.
That's right.
Okay? Because Brother Brown preached the spoken word is the original seed. Anytime you hear about the seed, if you're a Christian, you should not think of man's seed, but the seed word of God.
Right.
The sower went forth to sow seed. He was sowing the good seed, remember? And the other one was the other kind of seed. Well, it wasn't sperm. Okay? Let's just be honest. It was seed. The word. This is the seed. And you got to plant it. And once you plant it, you got to let it grow. So they didn't receive the promise, but they looked and saw it. Everybody, let's go. Everybody since the dawn of time was waiting on this time right here.
What about that?
Everybody, Abraham, they all looked afar off. Couldn't see exactly what was going on.
Yes, I can.
Danny, I need you to sign this right.
Okay. You're right.
Who are you talking about? Oh. They don't go more than once a month. They have an apartment up there.
She called to say about it.
Okay.
Called his wife. What's the hospital? She said they're probably streaming. She is because they listen to Donnie every Sunday.
They don't have an apartment. They bought a mobile home and their daughter lives in it, but there's an extra bedroom.
Oh, okay, and that's where they go on with it.
He hadn't been able to go
apart
at all.
All right. We're on this Hebrews 11.
Really?
Been on it.
That's okay.
We had got to about verse 4. So let's just continue on.
Let's just continue.
Get through this, all right? Also, next Sunday. Who's doing next Sunday? Brother Jones, do it next Sunday. And then somebody's got to do it the next Sunday. Hey, baby girl.
I'm going to say she carried a baby doll with her.
He's going to go on
the next
Sunday.
Yeah.
Baby
I'm
doll.
Going to ask. On the next weekend, he's going to Kentucky.
Your turn. Well, what's happening is we're leaving and going to Brother Rich Hyatt's next weekend, next Sunday, but I'm not going to preach for him because he asked me to preach for him the next weekend because he's going to be gone and he has nobody to preach, so I'm not. We're going up and going service with him next Sunday, but then the next Sunday I'm going back up to preach for him. So, 25th. All right. So by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Now listen, Cain wasn't righteous in the degree like we're talking about. He was right because he did the right thing. It was revealed to him that it was blood, not cantaloupes and oranges and potatoes. Because his brother Jewel always says, how can God bless something that's cursed? And that's what all Cain brought him was all the gifts of the earth, and God had already cursed the earth. Right? So God testifying of his gifts, what the gift? The offering of the lamb. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Now, we'll may talk about that a little bit more. Because out of the ground, Abel's blood didn't speak. But what spoke was, is the testimony Abel had. Abel was killed for what he believed. All right? And he was killed by another religious guy named Cain. So, and Brother Branham's talking about the end time, where you don't have to physically kill people anymore. You can just kill their influence and you kill that person, right? And we see that happening a lot, especially in the message too. So,
that's right.
So just be careful with that. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, Brother Brown said he pleased God with rapture and faith. Enoch had faith to believe, and he walked with him for 500 years. Okay? He walked with God for 500 years. Now, remember, Enoch was, he was in part of all them. Remember, Enoch's son was Methuselah. Was 769 years, so.
You didn't know that?
Yes.
She didn't know that.
Okay. Well, anyway. You got all those genealogies, look back in the Bible, you'll see them. And I may be wrong, but I think it's somewhere in there, Enoch and Methuselah are all kin to. They're all kin to each other because there wasn't many of them in on the earth at the time. Okay? By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Brother Brown was talking about typing Enoch as the end time bride that's going to take a body change. And then remember, he types Noah, which is kin to this is great granddaddy, Noah, wrote over the flood. But remember, there was sin when he got to the end of it, but not with Enoch. So Enoch types the raptured bride that's going to be raptured before, because remember, Enoch was taken up before the flood, so he didn't have to deal with the flood at all, right? For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Look what Paul said though. But without faith, It is impossible to please him. Who's him? God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is what? That he is God. Brother George and I were talking a few minutes ago. We were talking about the Mormons and all the different ones he'd been in contact with. And he was talking about a certain religion that was talking about God and Jesus. Well, see, that's, and it's public notice. I mean, I'm not saying something I shouldn't say on the internet. The Mormon Bible begins by saying that Moroni had these tablets, but that Joseph Smith was had an audience with Jesus and God at the same time. Two people, Jesus and God, appeared to Joseph Smith. I said, well, I just handed them back the Bible, and I said, here, I said, I can't go with that. It's false. Anything after that, like Brother George said, anything after that's false. If that's where it came from, it was a lie. So, sorry about that, but still, if you believe in one true and living God, Jesus and another man can't appear to you and it be Jesus and God. Okay, so, but millions upon millions, that's what we were talking about, millions upon millions believe that. They're Mormons. I mean, Mormons is the second largest religion in the United States. The richest besides the Catholic Church. So they must believe it somehow. That of course, if you believe in a Trinity, you can have them popping up all over the place, right? So, but we know that's what we were taught, me and Brother George were talking about. But by the Scripture and by the prophet's message, we know. We don't have to guess. We know that if it's not by the Word, it's false. My Brother Brown told us over and over again. He said, if you got two people, one's got to be the devil and one's got to be God, because you can't have two gods standing in front of him.
Right.
So thank God for a prophet. Isn't that right, baby girl? Amen. Hold that hand up. Amen. Good to have Ellie with you. She said that right.
Hallelujah.
Before long, she'd be saying, preach it, brother. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, who? God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, what we've been talking about, diligently seek him. All right? That's what we've been talking about. That's what I've been talking about. Brother Dale's been talking about. Even Brother Royal and the different ones that's come by, little notes in there about doing the little things, doing what you're supposed to do. Read your Bible, study, go to church, go to Bible study, and you wonder why. You know, some people wonder why they're not getting anywhere. Well, are you doing the ABCs? If you do any ABCs, then you need to work on something else. To me, when you get in this message and you see that what's set in stone that can't be changed is what the Word says. Right, and if it's a Word and it says it and you're not doing it, then see, you're out of the Word. So immediately you go, well, I need to do a 180, go away. And like even Brother Branham the other day, thumbing through some quotes, somebody was talking about something. You know, Brother Branham told us, how spiritual is this? Brother Branham says, if you're stingy, start giving stuff away.
Right.
He didn't say go in your prayer closet and start praying to God to change you. He said, if you're stingy, start giving stuff away. He said, do the vice versa. If you look at that word vice versa, he says it about four times in the whole message. But most of the time it's that. If you're this, do something else. That, I mean, that's just kind of really too simple. You say, oh, brother, I need a light. I need a light to come down in the room, and I need somebody to prophesy over me. Brother Brown did. He prophesied over the whole bride. Told us what to do, and we still look at it cross-eyed and go, that's just too simple. By faith, Noah, now watch. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now remember, Noah grew up in a civilization just like we're in now. But they had never seen rain. Never. Read your Bible. The ground itself was actually, the water table was so at the top of the ground that the water table would raise up and it would make your crops grow. Because really, to be real scientific, it doesn't matter how much it rains on the leaves.
The roots
have to get it. Now sure, there's a little bit of soaking up, but they soak up the sunlight, not the water. Because the water drips off the leaves, and if you'll understand, being a hunter, I like it on my fruit trees and stuff, you put out your fertilizer. You don't put it out next to the tree trunk. You basically don't spray it on the leaves. You go out to the what they call the tap root, which is out to your youngest root, is at the very end of your longest branch. You know why? Because when it rains, guess what? That's your first, it's like an umbrella. That's your first part of rain that's going to hit the ground is right there where them tap roots need it. So same way with God, we see that Noah never saw anything called rain. They couldn't Google rain. It was not a word. They could have had a Google. We got a Google now. They could have had something back then. You never know, you know.
In Genesis, I read yesterday, in Genesis, it talks about rain, the rain outpouring or something. I think it was
Genesis. It had to be Genesis after the flood, or at the flood, because before the flood, the ground is what, the mist coming up from the ground is what fertilized or whatever you want to call it. Because, you know, remember, the water table was, God made it that way. That's the original way it's going to be, because remember, when we go back to the Garden of Eden, we're not going to have rain. Will they tell me of a home? Far beyond the sky, will they tell me of an uncloudy day? There won't be clouds in the sky. Brother Brown talks many times, there won't be clouds. No, it'll be just. And that's what, but what I'm saying is, look at the faith Noah had to have. Noah had to walk out to the world, to the United Nations, and present his program. It's going to rain. And they go, that word's not in here.
Yeah.
Right? That word's not in here. What do you mean rain? Things not seen as yet. Move with fear. Now, not fear as in, but he knew God had talked to him and told him to do something.
Is that reverence?
I'm sorry?
Is that reverence, fear?
Yes, that would be a reverence. If you want to look at that G, let's see what that means. You've been cheating. He prepared an ark for the saving of his house. So here, Noah goes out, gives him a big field. I'm trying to tell you how impossible it is. He goes out, gives him a big field, buys him a, 100-acre field. Have a 100-acre field, and he says, I'm going to build a boat. And the people are going, B-O-A-T. What is that? Because boat's not even in there. Maybe not that size of a boat. I'm sure there was water, but not anything of rain coming, right? Prepared an ark to the saving of his house. But now remember, by the which he condemned the world. How did he condemn the world? He condemned the world by doing what God said. He didn't condemn the world by building the boat. No, building the boat saved his family. But condemning the world is 120 years. Brother Ram said he preached, it will rain. It will rain. It will rain. And I'm sure everybody brought their quote book to the minister's meeting.
That's right.
And told him how wrong he was.
Yeah.
Noah said, it'll rain. He became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Because remember, Noah became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He just believed. Same way with this next guy right here. By faith, Abraham. He believed when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed. That's our whole deal right there, is obey. And he went out not knowing whither he went. So that's what faith will do. Faith will take you somewhere that you think, man, I don't know about this. But it's like me and Jim were talking coming up the road here, talking about by faith. man, you got to take, you take it by faith, and then like I've always told you, God's no's are the best yeses you'll ever get. So if you put a fleece before the Lord, or if you say, Lord, I want to buy this car or whatever, house, and the deals just keep falling through, well, that's God telling you no. And you can say, praise the Lord, but I want that. No, you got to obey God. Listen, those that have the Spirit of God in them should be led by the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Okay, now I know as human beings, listen, we make terrible mistakes a lot of times, but you know what it is? We overrode what God's told us.
Right.
If you're a child of God. Now, anybody else in the world, you can call it luck out there if you want to, but I just don't believe in luck.
Right.
Right. I don't believe that. I don't believe Abraham was lucky. I don't believe Noah was lucky. No, he did what God said.
Right.
Right. And they're not even bride. They're not even children of God. Hello?
Yeah.
They weren't born again. They had an anointing. When Noah come out of the ark, and first thing he done is built a vineyard and started getting drunk. So it showed that he didn't have a lot of salvation, but he was saved. But he didn't have the new birth, right? Same way with Abraham. Abraham, being the father of our faith, gave his wife away twice, or tried, and laughed at God. So thank God, God doesn't look at all that of us either. He just looks at what our end will be, the faith. He obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. Now remember, when Abraham first started his journey, same with you, put yourself in this position. When you first start your journey, you really don't, as being a Christian, it's like I told you before, you're the bride of Jesus Christ and everything's so hunky-dory, and God gives you, whatever you ask. I know 6 months or so into my new birth, God would just, he'd answer my prayer. You know why? I was a baby. And he didn't want me to fall down and get hurt a whole lot, so he just kind of helped me along. But then after that, he went on vacation. And I'm like, anybody home? But you know what? He wanted you to believe what he's already said. He don't have to come back and tell us this again. He don't have to. It's already been said. And God's just waiting for it, like we were talking about the other day, the vision that God saw, we're just waiting for it to materialize, right? And that's the same way with Abraham. Abraham caught the vision of God that he was going to have a child. Now remember, he went through a journey of pretty hard stuff. He went to Egypt, he went to different places and got him a wife, or not a wife, got him a concubine, took his concubine, and had a child by it, but that wasn't that promise. Yeah, Ishmael was a child, but he wasn't a promised child, right? Same way with you and I. We're going to go around doing dumb things, but those who endure to the end shall be saved. Somebody ought to say that anymore. No. But he had an inheritance. Now remember, Abraham didn't know it when he started out. You don't know what your inheritance is, but as he kept going, God kept saying, okay, Abraham, everywhere that your sole or your feet walks, I'm giving it to you as an inheritance. Now, he didn't tell him that at first. He just said, Abraham, get up and go. See, that's justification. That's the same way it is in our journey. We're babies. We have to be led. And God leads us to a place, but then he finally leads us to a place, and he said, okay, all right. I'm in you now. Trust what's inside of me. That's our problem. We don't trust him so much that way. All right, so by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. I was thinking about this the other day. You were talking about Walmart and seeing the idiots. Don't call them idiots. They're humans. They're just humans that are blinded. They're blinded. Obviously, there is no more mirrors in people's home, because when they walk out the door, oh, my Lord. You know, it's like a bouncing ball. Now you go, oh, no. You kind of have to, I think God wants us to look up. Be careful when you look up if you're in a two-story house or a two-story place. So. But I'm telling you, though, they don't see nothing wrong with it. So what? They're blinded. They're literally blinded. Exactly. And I hate that, because every one of them could get salvation and get right and be right. but their choice is not that way. But I was thinking the other day, and think about this. Boy, it just makes you want to cry. Bill Gates is a multi-billionaire with, oh, I wish we had some money like him. He's going to have to stand before the white throne judgment if he's not born again, and I'm not.
Right.
All the Clinton.
Yes.
Name them all.
Name
them all. All the great men. Putin. One day, if he doesn't get born again, he's going to have to stand before this God that we're talking about, but you and I are not. Now, that don't make your head swell up. That makes you humble.
Yes, it does.
To believe that God has given us something that the great men of this world, you know, you think, boy, I wish I was a great, we've all said that. I wish I was a great baseball player. I wish I was a, the highest office in this world is the fivefold ministry. That's the highest offices in the world. Not Supreme Court.
Right.
Supreme Court justices are the apex of the land as far as saying, yes, this is right, no, but you know what? They get it wrong.
Right.
Abortion and all these different things that they've, and they've done the best they could. I'm not saying anything against them, but one day those great judges are going to have to stand. If they're not born again, you hear what I mean? If they're not born again, they're going to have to stand before the greatest judge. And it's not just Jesus Christ.
Right.
Right.
It's us.
Woo.
It's thrones.
That's right.
When they open that book, there's thrones. What? You and I. Standing there. And all the great men of the world, the greatest. You talk about Henry Aaron and Muhammad Ali and all these great people that people look up to and admire. And the reason I'm saying this is because Elvis died 42 years ago tomorrow. So there's Elvis Presley, the greatest man in the world at that time, though. But you know what? We know what his problem was. Brother Brown said he sold his soul for a fleet of Cadillacs.
Yeah.
So, you know, the greatest man in the world, you know, maybe when Judgment Day comes, they'll open up an aisle for Elvis to walk down. But I'm going to tell you something. He's going to stand before a God and a group of people that's going to judge that man for what he did if he's not born again. I keep saying that just in case. There is salvation at the last moment and all these things. But I'm telling you, what I'm saying is, look, this promise that he gave Abraham, he gave it to us. Because you and I, everywhere we walk, that's why I believe Jesus told him, said, go preach the gospel into all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And when you've done that, the end will come.
Yeah.
Why? Because we need a foot sitting in Japan where there hadn't been a believer there. And now they got message churches in Japan now. Never was one.
Right.
China, Russia, Indonesia, every country in the world, some believer is going to have to step foot on that piece of property.
Yeah.
I just believe that because that's what Jesus was saying. Go into the whole world, disperse. And wherever the sole of your foot is, I don't care if it's Antarctica where there's not 500 people live on that, but it's a continent, it's a place.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere that a bride puts their foot, that's the possession of the whole earth is for us. That's the inheritance. So listen, have faith. That it doesn't matter about all these great people that we look up to, and we do. We honor the president. We honor because it's an office. All right? We honor that because it is an office. It's an office that man's come up with, and you know, you got to deal with it. But one day, that person, if they're not born again, they're going to stand before the judgment seat and be judged right or wrong. Where you're standing there in the righteousness of God. And when it's all wiped off and over and done with, we're going to step right back down here.
But today we don't judge.
That's right. That's why we don't judge. That's why the Bible really says, let the Word judge.
Right.
Now we know that. The Word does judge. Really, come on people. The Word judges you every day. You don't have to have a preacher standing in your ear every day.
Right.
You should have the Holy Ghost in your ear every day that says, no, don't do that. Right? Or feel a little check. Hold on now. You know, turn a little bit. Let's don't do that.
Right.
And you know what? He's so timid till we go on and do it anyway. Remember, you said, well, that never happened to me. It happened to the prophet.
Yeah.
Twice. Remember God told him to go out on the field, and he, because of his mother-in-law and his wife, he didn't. Well, you see what it cost him.
Right.
Then he went to Africa with those brothers, and they said, we're going this way. He said, no, the Lord says not. And you know, remember, Brother Brown, the vision was God drew a line in the sand. Don't go any further. Well, guess what? They talked him into going. So you see what I mean? You can be careful with stepping over the will of God, because remember, it was a success as far as people getting healed and stuff, but they all pay for it. So we pay for it. We just have to be careful what we're doing. But same way with Abraham, by faith. Abraham didn't have a quote book. Abraham even didn't have a Bible. He had no self-help book. He had no Joel Osteen to look at, or whatever you want to call it, nobody, zero. It was just Abraham. Same way with Noah. Noah didn't have anything to go on. Abraham had a little bit more to go on. Noah had nothing to go on. Rain? What do you mean rain? It's not even, you can't Google rain. Not before the fall. I mean before the flood. But now, Abraham received an inheritance. He obeyed, and that's the same way with us. We get an inheritance by obeying the word of God.
Right.
All right? By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. As in a strange country, remember he went all these different places, Egypt, Canaan, Gerar. He went, if you'll read the Bible, and I used to have a little, and maybe in the back of some of the old Bibles, the journey of Abraham, you watch where he walked. I mean, he covered the whole, like, Middle East, Iran, Iraq, Israel, Egypt, Canaan, the different things where Abraham walked. Well, see, God said, wherever the sole of your feet, and tells him later on, wherever the sole of your feet steps, that's your inheritance. He said, Abraham, look up. Can you count the stars? Look down. Can you count the sand? He said, no. He said, well, your inheritance or your people will be as that sand of the sea. And thank God we're included in that. Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, he didn't look on a map that says was waiting. For he was waiting for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Because remember, Abraham was living in a time where he did journey. He dwelled in tabernacles or tents, different places. He didn't have a city. If you look, Abraham had no city that he was related with. They just said he was from the Ur of Chaldees. Then he got up and went to this town, and got up and went to this city, and he got up and went to this city. Then in the plains of Mamre, wherever that is where he met Melchizedek. All right, met God in human flesh. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Now what's wonderful to me, Abraham looked for this city his whole life.
Right.
Because he knew there was a promise that he was going to live somewhere. But the problem was, he didn't have enough revelation at the time, but thank God we got a prophet that came in the end times. And he said the very spot, now Brother Abraham had to get a revelation, he had to get a vision, that the very spot that Abraham took communion with Melchizedek, he said that's where the city's going to push up. And the city he was looking for was right up under his feet and he didn't know it. But see, we know that. So somewhere over there in Israel, wherever he was standing at, there's a pyramid-shaped mountain that's 1,500 miles this way and this way and that way and that way that's right under their feet.
Right.
And when this is all over with, it's just going to push right straight up.
Amen?
Amen? I believe it's there already. I don't believe it has to be created. I believe it's there. Because whatever happens to the rest of the earth is not going to matter. That's down under the earth. And then the city, the bride, the city is going to come right down on top of that mountain. What a beautiful picture. It won't be a vision when it happens.
Right.
So the city he's looking for, we've already found. We know exactly where it is. Because we had a prophet come in the end time, thank God, to give us that vision or that insight. That's why he said we're prophetic people, because prophetic people can put these things together. You can read about Abraham and the city that he's looking for. And then when Brother Brown says, right where he met Melchizedek, took communion, he said, right there under his feet is where that thing's going to push up. Well, he's the only one to know that. Geologists don't know that. Nobody else knows that. No other preacher went over there and said anything about that. But we had a spiritual Einstein that could see something that we couldn't even see. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed,